know your own worth? The oldest of admonitions is, man, know thyself. If you market merchandise successfully, you must know the merchandise. The same is true in marketing personal services. You should know all of your weaknesses in order that you may either bridge them or eliminate them entirely. You should know your strength in order that you may call attention to it when selling your services. You can know yourself only through accurate analysis. Take inventory of yourself. Annual self-analysis is an essential in the effective marketing of personal services, as is annual inventory in merchandising. Moreover, the yearly analysis should disclose a decrease in faults and an increase in virtues. One goes ahead, stands still, or goes backward in life. One's object should be, of course, to go ahead. Annual self-analysis will disclose whether advancement has been made, and if so, how much. It will also disclose any backward steps one may have made. The effective marketing of personal services requires one to move forward even if the progress is slow. Decision. The mastery of procrastination. The seventh step toward riches. Analysis of over 25,000 men and women who had experienced failure disclosed the fact that lack of decision was near the head of the list of the 31 major causes of failure. Procrastination, the opposite of decision, is a common enemy which practically every man must conquer. Analysis of several hundred people who had accumulated fortunes well beyond the $1 million mark disclosed the fact that every one of them had the habit of reaching decisions promptly and of changing these decisions slowly if and when they were changed. People who fail to accumulate money, without exception, have the habit of reaching decisions, if at all, very slowly, and of changing these decisions quickly and often. Tips on making your own decisions. The majority of people who fail to accumulate money sufficient for their needs are generally easily influenced by the opinions of others. They permit the newspapers and the gossiping neighbors to do their thinking for them. Opinions are the cheapest commodities on earth. Everyone has a flock of opinions ready to be wished upon anyone who will accept them. Close friends and relatives, while not meaning to do so, often handicap one through opinions, and sometimes through ridicule, which is meant to be humorous. Thousands of men and women carry inferiority complexes with them all through life because some well-meaning but ignorant person destroyed their confidence through opinions or ridicule. You have a brain and a mind of your own. Use it and reach your own decisions. If you need facts or information from other people to enable you to reach decisions, as you probably will in many instances, acquire these facts or secure the information you need quietly without disclosing your purpose. 56 who risked the gallows. The greatest decision of all time, as far as any American citizen is concerned, was reached in Philadelphia, July 4, 1776, when 56 men signed their names to a document which they well knew would bring freedom to all Americans or leave every one of the 56 hanging from a gallows. You have heard of this famous document, but you may not have drawn from it the great lesson in personal achievement it so plainly taught. We all remember the date of this momentous decision, but few of us realize what courage that decision required. We remember our history as it was taught. We remember dates and the names of the men who fought. We remember Valley Forge and Yorktown. We remember George Washington and Lord Cornwallis. But we know little of the real forces back of these names, dates, and places. We know still less of that intangible power which ensured us freedom long before Washington's armies reached Yorktown. It is nothing short of tragedy that the writers of history have missed entirely even the slightest reference to the irresistible power which gave birth and freedom to the nation destined to set up new standards of independence for all the peoples of the earth. I say it as a tragedy because it is the selfsame power which must be used by every individual who surmounts the difficulties of life and forces life to pay the price asked. Analyze the events which led to the Declaration of Independence, and be convinced that this nation, which now holds a position of commanding respect and power among all nations of the world, was born of a decision created by a mastermind consisting of 56 men. Note well the fact that it was their decision which ensured the success of Washington's armies, because the spirit of that decision was in the heart of every soldier who fought with him and served as a spiritual power which recognizes no such thing as failure. Note also, with great personal benefit, that the power which gave this nation its freedom is the self-same power that must be used by every individual who becomes self-determining. This power is made up of the principles described in this book. It will not be difficult to detect in the story of the Declaration of Independence at least six of these principles: desire, decision, faith, persistence, the mastermind, and organized planning. Know what you want, and you'll generally get it. Throughout this philosophy will be found the suggestion that thought, backed by strong desire, has a tendency to transmute itself into its physical equivalent. In your search for the secret of the method, do not look for a miracle, because you will not find it. You will find only the eternal laws of nature. These laws are available to every person who has the faith and the courage to use them. They may be used to bring freedom to a nation or to accumulate riches. Definiteness of decision always requires courage, sometimes very great courage. The 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence staked their lives on the decision to affix their signatures to that document. The person who reaches a definite decision to procure the particular job and make life pay the price he asks does not stake his life on that decision. He stakes his economic freedom. Financial independence, riches, desirable business, and professional positions are not within reach of the person who neglects or refuses to expect, plan, and demand these things. The person who desires riches in the same spirit that Samuel Adams desired freedom for the colonies is sure to accumulate wealth. Persistence, the sustained effort necessary to induce faith, the eighth step toward riches. Persistence is an essential factor in the procedure of transmuting desire into its monetary equivalent. The basis of persistence is the power of will. Willpower and desire, when properly combined, make an irresistible pair. The starting point of all achievement is desire. Keep this constantly in mind. Weak desires bring weak results, just as a small amount of fire makes a small amount of heat. If you find yourself lacking in persistence, this weakness may be remedied by building a stronger fire under your desires. And if you find that you are indifferent, you may be sure that you have not yet acquired the money consciousness which you must possess before you can be sure of accumulating a fortune. Those who can take it are bountifully rewarded for their persistence. They receive as their compensation whatever goal they are pursuing. That is not all. They receive something infinitely more important than material compensation: the knowledge that every failure brings with it the seed of an equivalent advantage. You can train yourself to be persistent. Persistence is a state of mind. Therefore, it can be cultivated. Like all states of mind, persistence is based upon definite causes. Among them, these: A, definiteness of purpose. Knowing what one wants is the first and perhaps the most important step toward the development of persistence. A strong motive forces one to surmount many difficulties. B, desire. It is comparatively easy to acquire and to maintain persistence in pursuing the object of intense desire. C, self-reliance. Belief in one's ability to carry out a plan encourages one to follow the plan through with persistence. Self-reliance can be developed through the principle described in the chapter on auto-suggestion. D, definiteness of plans. Organized plans, even though they may be weak and entirely impractical, encourage persistence. E, accurate knowledge. Knowing that one's plans are sound, based upon experience or observation, encourages persistence. Guessing instead of knowing destroys persistence. F, cooperation. Sympathy, understanding, and harmonious cooperation with others tend to develop persistence. G, willpower, the habit of concentrating one's thoughts upon the building of plans for the attainment of a definite purpose leads to persistence. H. Habit. Persistence is the direct result of habit. The mind absorbs and becomes a part of the daily experiences upon which it feeds. Fear, the worst of all enemies, can be effectively cured by forced repetition of acts of courage. Everyone who has seen active service in war knows this. Take your own persistence inventory. Before leaving the subject of persistence, take inventory of yourself and determine in what particular, if any, you are lacking in this essential quality. Measure yourself courageously, point by point, and see how many of the 8 factors of persistence you lack. The analysis may lead to discoveries that will give you a new grip on yourself. If you fear criticism, let us examine some of the symptoms of the fear of criticism. The majority of people permit relatives, friends, and the public at large to so influence them that they cannot live their own lives because they fear criticism. Huge numbers of people make mistakes in marriage, stand by the bargain, and go through life miserable and unhappy because they fear criticism, which may follow if they correct the mistake. Anyone who has submitted to this form of fear knows the irreparable damage it does by destroying one's ambition and the desire to achieve. Millions of people neglect to acquire belated educations after having left school because they fear criticism. Countless numbers of men and women, both young and old, permit relatives to wreck their lives in the name of duty because they fear criticism. Duty does not require any person to submit to the destruction of his personal ambitions and the right to live his own life in his own way. People refuse to take chances in business because they fear the criticism which may follow if they fail. The fear of criticism in such cases is stronger than the desire for success. How to develop persistence? There are 4 simple steps which lead to the habit of persistence. They call for no great amount of intelligence, no particular amount of education, and but little time or effort. The necessary steps are 1. A definite purpose backed by burning desire for its fulfillment. 2. A definite plan expressed in continuous action. 3. A mind closed tightly against all negative and discouraging influences, including negative suggestions of relatives, friends, and acquaintances. 4. A friendly alliance with one or more persons who will encourage one to follow through with both plan and purpose. These 4 steps are essential for success in all walks of life. The entire purpose of the 13 principles of this philosophy is to enable one to take these 4 steps as a matter of habit. These are the steps by which one may control one's economic destiny. They are the steps that lead to freedom and independence of thought. They are the steps that lead to riches in small or great quantities. They lead the way to power, fame, and worldly recognition. They are the 4 steps which guarantee favorable breaks. They are the steps that convert dreams into physical realities. They lead also to the mastery of fear, discouragement, and indifference. There is a magnificent reward for all who learn to take these 4 steps. It is the privilege of writing one's own ticket and of making life yield whatever price is asked. How to master difficulties. What mystical power gives to men of persistence the capacity to master difficulties? Does the quality of persistence set up in one's mind some form of spiritual, mental, or chemical activity which gives one access to supernatural forces? Does infinite intelligence throw itself on the side of the person who still fights on after the battle has been lost, with the whole world on the opposing side?
You may be interested in knowing that I had the help of some 500 of the most successful men in America to help me create the science of personal achievement. Among them were such men as Thomas A. Edison, Henry Ford, John Wanamaker. Let me tell you about one man, perhaps my most outstanding student, who has made a tremendous success of his life by applying definiteness of purpose. His name is W. Clement Stone, president of the Combined Insurance Company of America. Right after Think and Grow Rich was published in 1937, someone gave Mr. Stone a copy of this book, and he was so impressed by it that he laid out a 20-year plan for himself. At that time, he was selling insurance, I suppose making $200 or $300, maybe $400 a week at the most. Now, his plan called for him to own a company of his own within 20 years and for him to be president of it, and his personal fortune to be not less than $10 million. Well, long before the 20 years were up, he was the president and majority owner of four large insurance companies. His personal fortune was over $35 million, and today it is estimated that his fortune is over $100 million. And he attributes his success entirely to the application of the famous Andrew Carnegie philosophy, and particularly to the application of definiteness of purpose. His 2,000 salesmen are known to be the most successful men in the insurance field, and every one of those 2,000 men has been taught to use the science of personal achievement and to emphasize the principle of definiteness of purpose.
Power of the mastermind, the driving force, the ninth step toward riches. Power is essential for success in the accumulation of money. Plans are inert and useless without sufficient power to translate them into action. This chapter will describe the method by which an individual may attain and apply power. Power may be defined as organized and intelligently directed knowledge. Power, as the term is here used, refers to organized effort, sufficient to enable an individual to transmute desire into its monetary equivalent. Organized effort is produced through the coordination of effort of two or more people who work toward a definite end in a spirit of harmony. Power is required for the accumulation of money. Power is necessary for the retention of money after it has been accumulated. Let us ascertain how power may be acquired. If power is organized knowledge, let us examine the sources of knowledge. A. Infinite intelligence. This source of knowledge may be contacted through the procedure described in another chapter with the aid of creative imagination. B. Accumulated experience. The accumulated experience of man, or that portion of it which has been organized and recorded, may be found in any well-equipped public library. An important part of this accumulated experience is taught in public schools and colleges, where it has been classified and organized. C. Experiment and research. In the field of science, and in practically every other walk of life, men are gathering, classifying, and organizing new facts daily. This is the source to which one must turn when knowledge is not available through accumulated experience. Here, too, the creative imagination must often be used. Knowledge may be required from any of the foregoing sources. It may be converted into power by organizing it into definite plans and by expressing those plans in terms of action. Gaining power through the mastermind. The mastermind may be defined as coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. No individual may have great power without availing himself of the mastermind. In a preceding chapter, instructions were given for the creation of plans for the purpose of translating desire into its monetary equivalent. If you carry out these instructions with persistence and intelligence and use discrimination in the selection of your mastermind group, your objective will have been halfway reached even before you begin to recognize it. So you may better understand the intangible potentialities of power available to you through a properly chosen mastermind group, we will here explain the two characteristics of the mastermind principle, one of which is economic in nature and the other psychic. The economic feature is obvious. Economic advantages may be created by any person who surrounds himself with the advice, counsel, and personal cooperation of a group of men who are willing to lend him wholehearted aid in a spirit of perfect harmony. This form of cooperative alliance has been the basis of nearly every great fortune. Your understanding of this great truth may definitely determine your financial status. The psychic phase of the mastermind principle is much more difficult to comprehend. You may catch a significant suggestion from this statement. No two minds ever come together without thereby creating a third invisible, intangible force which may be likened to a third mind. How to multiply your brain power. Man's brain may be compared to an electric battery. It is a well-known fact that a group of electric batteries will provide more energy than a single battery. It is also a well-known fact that an individual battery will provide energy in proportion to the number and capacity of the cells it contains. The brain functions in a similar fashion. This accounts for the fact that some brains are more efficient than others, and leads to this significant statement. A group of brains, coordinated or connected in a spirit of harmony, will provide more thought energy than a single brain, just as a group of electric batteries will provide more energy than a single battery. Through this metaphor, it becomes immediately obvious that the mastermind principle holds the secret of the power wielded by men who surround themselves with other men of brains. There follows now another statement which will lead still nearer to an understanding of the psychic phase of the mastermind principle. When a group of individual brains are coordinated and function in harmony, the increased energy created through that alliance becomes available to every individual brain in the group. It is a well-known fact that Henry Ford began his business career under the handicap of poverty, illiteracy, and ignorance. It is an equally well-known fact that within the inconceivably short period of 10 years, Mr. Ford mastered these three handicaps, and that within 25 years, he made himself one of the richest men in America. Connect with this fact the additional knowledge that Mr. Ford's most rapid strides became noticeable from the time he became a personal friend of Thomas A. Edison, and you will begin to understand what the influence of one mind upon another can accomplish. Go a step farther and consider the fact that Mr. Ford's most outstanding achievements began from the time that he formed the acquaintance of Harvey Firestone, John Burroughs, and Luther Burbank, each a man of great brain capacity. And you will have further evidence that power may be produced through friendly alliance of minds.
Let me tell you about my experience in helping Franklin D. Roosevelt to create a mastermind which broke the back of the Depression in 1933. Shortly after the president entered the White House, he sent for me to come and go to work for him. We created one of the most outstanding masterminds that this nation has ever known, perhaps. It consisted of both houses of Congress working in harmony with the president, something that never had been done before and never has been done since, probably to the extent that we accomplished it there in 1933. The majority of the newspaper publishers of America, regardless of their political leanings, practically every one of them got behind the president as a result of this mastermind operation which we set up at the White House. And the radio station operators, without any reference whatsoever to their political leanings, they got behind the president and they used the material which I prepared to send out to go over the air. In other words, material that we used to sell the good features of the United States instead of dwelling upon the bad ones. And then the churches of all denominations, I have never seen such a job as they did. The priests and the clergymen of all denominations went into their pulpits and they did a wonderful job of selling the United States of America to the people. Then the leaders of both the major political parties, they crossed party lines. There were no Democrats and no Republicans, no anything else in Congress. They were nothing but Americans helping the president of the United States to bring this country out of chaos. And then, most of all, there was a majority of the American people of all political and religious leanings. I have never seen the people of the United States get behind a president so squarely as they did behind FDR in those perilous days of 1933. Now, here was a mastermind alliance that served a great purpose at a time of need. And I hope to see the time come when I may contribute my services in building a mastermind alliance that will permanently serve the President of the United States as it did in 1933.
The mystery of sex transmutation, the tenth step toward riches. The meaning of the word transmute is, in simple language, the changing or transferring of one element or form of energy into another. The 10 stimuli of the mind. The human mind responds to stimuli through which it may be keyed up to high rates of vibration, known as enthusiasm, creative imagination, intense desire, and so on. The stimuli to which the mind responds most freely are, 1, the desire for sex expression, 2, love, 3, a burning desire for fame, power, or financial gain, money, 4, music, 5, friendship between either those of the same sex or those of the opposite sex, 6, a mastermind alliance based upon the harmony of two or more people who ally themselves for spiritual or temporal advancement, 7, mutual suffering, such as that experienced by people who are persecuted, 8, autosuggestion, 9, fear, 10, narcotics and alcohol. The desire for sex expression comes at the head of the list of stimuli, which most effectively step up the mind and start the wheels of physical action. 8 of these stimuli are natural and constructive. 2 are destructive. When brain action has been stimulated through one or more of the 10 mind stimulants, it has the effect of lifting the individual far above the horizon of ordinary thought and permits him to envision distance, scope, and quality of thoughts not available on the lower plane, such as that occupied while one is engaged in the solution of the problems of business and professional routine. The world is ruled and the destiny of civilization is established by the human emotions. People are influenced in their actions not by reason so much as by feelings. The creative faculty of the mind is set into action entirely by emotions and not by cold reason. The most powerful of all human emotions is that of sex. There are other mind stimulants, some of which have been listed, but no one of them, nor all of them combined, can equal the driving power of sex. A mind stimulant is any influence which will either temporarily or permanently increase the intensity of thought. The 10 major stimulants described are those most commonly resorted to. Through these sources, one may commune with infinite intelligence or enter at will the storehouse of the subconscious mind, either one's own or that of another person, a procedure which is all there is of genius. The emotion of sex is an irresistible force against which there can be no such opposition as an immovable body. When driven by this emotion, men become gifted with a superpower for action. Understand this truth, and you will catch the significance of the statement that sex transmutation contains the secret of creative ability. The transmutation of sex energy calls for the exercise of willpower, to be sure, but the reward is worth the effort. The desire for sexual expression is inborn and natural. The desire cannot and should not be submerged or eliminated, but it should be given an outlet through forms of expression which enrich the body, mind, and spirit of man. Sex alone is a mighty urge to action, but its forces are like a cyclone. They are often uncontrollable. When the emotion of love begins to mix itself with the emotion of sex, the result is calmness of purpose, poise, accuracy of judgment, and balance. Love is, without question, life's greatest experience. It brings one into communion with infinite intelligence. When mixed with the emotions of romance and sex, it may lead one far up the ladder of creative effort. The emotions of love, sex, and romance are sides of the eternal triangle of achievement-building genius. Love is an emotion with many sides, shades, and colors. But the most intense and burning of all kinds of love is that experienced in the blending of the emotions of love and sex. When the emotion of romance is added to those of love and sex, the obstructions between the finite mind of man and infinite intelligence are removed. Then a genius has been born. The subconscious mind, the connecting link, the 11th step toward riches. The subconscious mind consists of a field of consciousness in which every impulse of thought that reaches the conscious mind through any of the 5 senses is classified and recorded, and from which thoughts may be recalled or withdrawn as letters may be taken from a filing cabinet. It receives and files sense impressions or thoughts, regardless of their nature. You may voluntarily plant in your subconscious mind any plan, thought, or purpose which you desire to translate into its physical or monetary equivalent. The subconscious acts first on the dominating desires which have been mixed with emotional feelings, such as faith. You cannot entirely control your subconscious mind, but you can voluntarily hand over to it any plan, desire, or purpose which you wish transformed into concrete form. After you have accepted as a reality the existence of the subconscious mind and understand its possibilities as a medium for transmuting your desires into their physical or monetary equivalent, you will comprehend the full significance of the instructions given in the chapter on desire. You will also understand why you have been repeatedly admonished to make your desires clear and to reduce them to writing. You will also understand the necessity of persistence in carrying out instructions. The 13 principles are the stimuli with which you acquire the ability to reach and to influence your subconscious mind. Do not become discouraged if you cannot do this upon the first attempt. Remember that the subconscious mind may be voluntarily directed only through habit under the directions given in the chapter on faith. You have not yet had time to master faith. Be patient. Be persistent.
Please fast forward to the end and turn the tape over for proper cueing of side four.